You're listening to Dwelling Place Church Podcast.
Because anytime I come with water and I'm camping out here, you know, I don't get to do this that often. I'm thrilled to be here. I was watered up on the sofa again last week. So, you know, coming back from chemo, it's kind of a journey. But I told Bob, I go, put me on Sunday. It's like I'm up for air and here we go. So I'm going to open in prayer. But first of all, did everybody get one of these? Hold it up if you did. Okay. If you didn't and you want one, the ushers are going to give you one. On one side, it says, here's the test to find out whether your mission on earth is finished. If you are alive, it isn't. And the other side says, amen. So we're going to use these today. So if you need an amen sign, Clinton's right here. Just here we go. Oh, my gosh, Ray and Jerlyn, and you guys were ushering. It snuck right by you. Okay, keep your hand. Oh, look down here. Okay, here we come. These three down, oh my gosh, right in the front and way over there. Okay, oh my gosh, Roy and Debbie, they need one. Oh, right here, they're coming. Okay, Debbie, Roy. Okay, way back there, Clinton over here. Oh my gosh. Open way over here, down here, here it comes. Boy, you guys, well, I'm going to work you today, too. You think this is tough. We're just getting started. Way back there. Oh, over here. Keep your hands up. We're getting there. Leilani, Clinton, right there, standing up. Hold on. I see that hand. Boy, this is, I should do an altar call. I see that hand. Okay, they're getting to you. All right. While they're doing that, we're going to open in prayer because here's the deal. I know you have a new member meeting after this, but we're not leaving until I'm done today. So we better get going. When I go this long, it's like you get about 10 messages, and you know you have this much information when you study, and you get it down to like, oh my gosh, can I knock off one more page or one more page? And so we don't have all the time in the world. I don't want your tummies to be growling here as we get going. So let's open in prayer. Here's right down here too, you guys. Here they come. Okay, so are you ready? I think God has like some awesome stuff for us this morning, so let's pray. All right, Father, in Jesus' name, we just pray that your Holy Spirit take the lead this morning. I pray there's revelation on your word. I pray that all of us take one giant step forward on what you have for us, for our life, for this community, Father. We don't want to waste one day, one breath, when, Lord, this is it till we get to heaven. So I pray you just download an awesome message for every single one of us, and everyone who agreed said, amen. Now, here's why you have these. I know that sometimes things are said where you go, ah, I get it. Or, oh my gosh, that is so exciting. And you want to go, woohoo, like that. That's what I do down front. That's my joyful noise. Woohoo. It's real quiet. Am I the only one that does woohoo? Okay, thanks. And so that's pretty good. So cell phones and babies are like a no-no. But the woohoos and the amens, we want them. So I know some of you are like a little shy. You're going like we're supposed to do woohoo or we're supposed to go amen. Well, here's the deal. You take out your sign, and when I say something like, God is awesome, you just do this. Yeah, okay. Make the noise. Just that's what it's there for. Okay, so we're going to get going this morning. You know, I don't even know if this guy has a show anymore, but Dr. Phil, is he still on? Yeah. Is he okay? So when he opens up his show, you hear this in the opening. He has a couple things that are pretty good. But he says this. I want you to get excited about your life. Have you heard that? And every time I hear that, I go, that is a Bible verse, for pity's sake. It should be if it isn't, because I can hear God doing this. I want you to get excited about your life. Amen. Roy Mason, I want you to get excited about your life. Shemaine, I want you to get excited about your life. Phil, God wants you to get excited about your life. Bob Beckett, God wants you to get excited about your life. I think he wants this. When we get up in the morning, however you get up. Now, Bob's one of those that bounds out of bed. I'm one that I don't fall out of bed, but I get out of bed. But however you get out of bed in the morning, I really believe this, that as soon as our feet touch that carpet, bang, God has a plan for our life. We should be saying, the mercies of God are new every morning. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I'm going to have divine encounters this morning. I'm going to like have opposition, but the atmosphere of God that I bring to wherever I'm going is going to overwhelm that. That's going to be my life. I'm excited about my life. But here's the problem. Am I clicking? Oh, man, I've got to take my earrings off. Hold on. Now I lean. Both of them. Both of them? Both of them? Thank you. See, the men don't understand that. Oh, stop. Yeah, Bob's raising his amen sign. You're funny, Bob Beckett. Okay. I even brought spares. They were supposed to tell me before this. Okay, no earrings. Okay, but so here's the thing. So we leak. That's the problem. So what happens is we come in here on Sunday morning. I mean, Shane and Hannah and the worship team, aren't they incredible? We're the choir. So we're like this. Yay, God, we're blessing God. We're praising God. We're hopping around. And then we get the life of the church in announcements. And then Bob gets up and gives us a message. And we are out there for the week. I mean, it is a week we start out with. And by the time that Thursday or Friday comes, we're like this. Go, God. Yay, God. You know, that's the problem we have. And so there's a guy in the Old Testament, we're not going to even talk about him this morning, but David had the same problem. And this is what he said. Eli, give me that overhead. He said this in Psalms 51. Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And so when you look up that word salvation, that is not redemption. You got to do your homework here. In the Hebrew, this is what it means. Give me the next one. It means liberty, deliverance, prosperity, safety, and to be free. That's what that word salvation means. And so he'd had it. To restore means you restore it. He'd had that at one time. He knew what it was like to be excited about life, to be joyful, to be free, to be at liberty. But what happened? Along the way, he leaked it out, and he didn't have it anymore. And so this morning, what I want us to do is say, you know what? I know some of us come and drag it in here. But by the time we get out, we're good. But how do we keep that all week? Like, what is the discovery or the secret that we can find out in the Word that when you go Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you are still cooking. You still have the joy of the Lord. You're still excited about life, and we don't leak it out all week. There is something. And so what I want us to do today is discover this revelation that actually John kind of found out, and we apply it to our lives. I'm telling you, you won't come dragging it anymore. You won't get to Thursday and go, oh man, I need to get to church and get charged up on Sunday. And you come crawling in the door. We're not going to be doing that. So, are you ready? Okay, wait. See, I'm preparing here. Okay, so here's the thing. I want us to pretend for a minute that we are at the Academy Awards. And more specifically, we're on the red carpet. Now, just so you'll know, give me that first one, Eli. The one with the lady on the there. There we are. So I've never been. I'm never going to go. I think they are crazy down there. But you know what? If you live in Southern California, especially, amen, thank you. They are crazy. But if you live in Southern California and it's that time of year for the red carpet, you're going to get it on the news. And so here they are. It's the rich and the famous. It's who Angelina Jolie and Johnny Depp and Katy Perry. And then you have the little announcer. Oh, you look so beautiful. And who are you with now? And look at all your jewels. And they talk about their clothes or lack thereof. I mean, it's just nuts. Yeah. I've seen that much of it, yes. But then over here on the rest of the red carpet, you have this. You have the rest of the people and the police and the bodyguards are going, get back. You, get back. Get over there. You don't belong over here. Stay over there behind the barricades, right? That's the normal people. Now let's pretend for a minute that Jesus shows up. Now here's the thing. They're not going to recognize him because he's not going to be dressed like 2,000 years ago. He's going to have a pair of jeans on, one of those really cool untucked shirts, probably some cool tinnies, the new tinnies, haircut, a watch. So he comes on. What are they going to say to him? You. I don't know who you are. Who do you think you are? Get back behind that barricade. Go on, back. What if they knew he was coming and everybody said, be on the lookout for Jesus. He's showing up. Do you even think that they would recognize him? Would they know what to look for? I don't think so. And so what happened was 2,000 years ago, he really did come. And you have to understand that we have a hard time comprehending like eternity. Like we think there's always a start and a stop to everything. That's all we know. That's what makes sense. And so you go, well, God was from the beginning. Yes, he was, but there was really no beginning. For him, eternity is like this. And so he stepped out of eternity, that's just forever. And the God that never knew the confines of time or space put himself into time and space and became manifest. We actually saw him. Now, the problem with that is this for us. That was a one-time thing. Unless he manifests himself to us, which is awesome. I've heard people see him. I have never seen him. And so the problem is that we can't see God. And the Bible even says God is a spirit. And if you're going to worship him, you have to worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, here's the thing. I would love to get up here this morning and go, guess what? We have buses pulling in right now as we talk, and a box lunch for everybody here. And we're going to get on these buses after the service. We're all going down to the Staples Center because Jesus is doing a TED Talk down there. So, like, bring your phones, bring your cameras. He's finally in Southern California, and we get to see him. But that's not going to happen. It already happened. He was already there. 2,000 years ago, he did that. And guess what? Thousands of people saw him. I think we just think it's like the 12 disciples. Thousands and thousands and thousands of people were touched and blessed by Jesus. Amen. And so here we are, and John is writing this letter. We're going to go to John. And so John, one of the disciples, he had a chance to be with him and to walk around him. And there's so many things he could have written about. But honestly, the things that he really focused on are not the things that maybe you would have thought he did. So what he did was this. The fact that God was made visible actually was secondary to another discovery that John made. So are you ready? This is going to be so cool. Say, I'm ready. I'll hold up this. Okay. So Eli, put that first verse up. This is 1 John, and this is out of the Good News Translation. We write to you about the word of life. Say life. Life. Now listen, because these you'll love these scriptures after we go through them today, which has existed from the very beginning, forever and ever. We have heard it, and we have seen it with our eyes. Yes, we've seen it, and our hands have touched it. When this life became visible, we saw it. So we speak of it, and we tell you about the eternal life. Say eternal life, which was with the Father and was made known to us. Isn't this rich? I love it. What we have seen and heard, we announce to you also, so that you will join with us in the fellowship that we have with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, did you notice that John never takes us to the epic realization that God was made manifest? That was really not his focus. It's like he made another discovery. So he keeps saying, we heard it and we saw it and we touched it and I'm telling you about it. And you want to go, John, what is it? And he goes like this. It's like when God was made manifest, the thing that captured his attention, that really made an impact on him more than the fact that God was made manifest, was life was made visible. Yes, God was made visible, but life was made visible. So I have to tell you, if that would have been me, I would have been there. I would have written books, put out CDs. I'd get on every television program. I'd be on TBN. I'd be making the circuit. I would. But this is what I'd be telling you. Oh, my gosh. This is what he looked like. He was like about this tall, and he was really well built from walking all over and hiking. He had hair about to here. His eyes, oh, my gosh, you just looked at him, and they sucked you in. It's like you saw eternity in his eyes. And when he smiled at you, oh, you just melted inside and you felt this love come out of him. I mean, I would describe him, but have you guys ever thought that the fact that John, who spent 3 years and writes all these books about him, never once describes Jesus? Think about it. Never once. He doesn't describe him. It's not the thing that impacted him. What impacted him more than describing Jesus and what he was made manifest and looked like was the fact that life was made visible. Now, here's the deal. I think the fact that we're all so underwhelmed by that, I don't hear you guys jumping out, going nuts over it. But here's the thing. We have a language problem with God. So we're talking about life. We're talking about all these things, but we're going like this. We're going in opposite directions. We think we have life. I mean, look at us all. You look good this morning. Oh, we got an extra hour of sleep. You had breakfast. You're all dressed. You have shoes on. You're going to go out to lunch. You drove here. We're moving around. We think this is life, but God's going, it's not even close. And our language is just doing like this. Like, how many of you have ever had a language problem with your children? Raise your hands. Okay. Now, don't anybody look back there at Suzanne, my kid. Yes, hi, Suzanne. But here's the deal. How many of you have ever done this? I can tell you have. You go, okay, you guys, I want you to go in your rooms. You can't go anywhere until your room is cleaned up. It's a mess. Yes. Suzanne. And so they run off to clean their room, and they're back in like 60 seconds. It's like, okay, Mom, it's all done. Okay, let me check it. And you walk down, and you go, I still can't even see your floor. Like, you call this clean? And what do they say? Yeah, I cleaned my room. I mean, what do we have here? A huge language problem. I went to Kansas City, Missouri once for a women's conference years ago. And that night, a bunch of us went out to a Denny's for dinner. And so I look on the menu, and there they have enchilada. I mean, I love Mexican food. So, I mean, give me, and I'm this one thinking, a California chili, don't laugh, Ruth is from Missouri. So I'm thinking a chili relleno, a shredded beef enchilada, beans and rice, guacamole, a lot of salsa, cheese, Diet Coke, chips. I'm going, yes, give me the enchilada. And so they bring my enchilada and put it down, and I told the girl next to me, I go, I mean, I still remember, it looked like a flat omelet. And I go, I think they gave me somebody else's dinner. And she goes, well, what did you order? And I said, well, the enchilada. And she goes, well, that's how they make them here in Missouri. She goes, just put some ketchup on it, you'll be fine. I'm like, no, this is really sad. So, but here's the problem. That's the same problem we're having with God. And he's going, oh, these people. And so John comes, he's trying to tell us, this amazing life existed from ever and ever, and it's come here, and we have God made manifest, and you're seeing this life, and we're going to walk with this life and touch it and see it. It's amazing. He's just trying to get this through to us. And I think if we could get God up here and hand him a microphone, okay, God, tell us the truth. What would you call the life that we have? I think he would say, well, honestly, everybody, I think what you have compared to my life is existence. And then if you could go, well, come here, just God, you and me, what do you really think about this life? This is what I think he'd say. It's really death. Compared to what God has for us and compared to the life of God, we are walking in death. Because here's the thing, God's desire for us is to live fully alive. Do you understand that? Fully alive, 24/7. And so he has us on this amazing journey. The first part of the journey is this. He wants to move us from unbelief to belief. And Bob says this all the time. Buddha didn't die for your sins. Krishna didn't die for your sins. All the Hindu gods did not die for your sins. Only Jesus was able to hang on that cross and pay the price for our redemption. He's the only one that can give us salvation. He's the only one. And so we move from unbelief to belief. That's the first part of it. The second part of this journey is we move from death to life. Now that we have redemption, we're just going forward with all the life that he has in us. Okay, Eli, give me that next overhead. Here's the thing. We have heard it and we have seen it with our eyes. Our hands have touched it when this life became visible. Because here's the thing he goes on to say. The name of that life God made manifest was Jesus. And the thing is that Jesus came to do so much more than just show us the Father, more than show us God being manifested. He came to show us himself being life. And it's one thing to look at Jesus and see the Father and go, oh my gosh, you are amazing. This life is absolutely amazing. But more than that, after we've seen God made visible and who Jesus is, he wants us to see who we are meant to be. You see that? We're just not going to come to church every Sunday and go, God, you are awesome. You are awesome in me. And let me tell you this. In this world, we're so global anymore. You know, I sat down and thought about this week, and I thought, it is so rare to be rare. I mean, think about it. People are so smart. We have more skills and more intelligence and more talent, but people are still just existing. Think about this for a sec. Randy Pierce is here, just got finished working for Amazon. You can go home if you have good credit card, get online, order almost anything you want from Amazon, right, Randy? And have it here tomorrow or the next day, anything you want. It can be at your front door. If you have good credit, or even if you don't, probably go down and get a brand new car, drive it home. What do you want to know? Anything you want to know, get online, type it in, push a button, pages come out. Any topic. You want to look at something? Type it in. I want to look at tractors. There are other things people look at. Pages of tractors will come up. If you want to know your neighbor's backyard and he has it sealed up, Bob showed me. I don't know how to do it. You get on Google Earth, and the Earth comes in from outer space and gets tinier and tinier and tinier and tinier, and bang, you're looking at someone's backyard in New Jersey, for pity's sake. It's amazing. And we can see anything and know anything. We're really smart. But I'm telling you, without the life of Jesus Christ, people are only existing. Because this is what Colossians says. Took that one up, Eli. That we have Christ in us, the what? The hope of glory. Now, I've always said this. It isn't just the hope of glory for me. This is the hope of glory for other people. That I can have Jesus Christ in me, and people can listen to me and touch me and see me and go, I see God in her. I see a person that's so excited about life, and every breath she takes, she's so contagious. What is it in you? It's Christ in me, the hope of glory. And then Paul said this in 2 Corinthians. I just typed it up. It's me. But this is the verse pretty much. We are an open book, an open letter, read of all men. Okay, so I am that. We all are. So what should they be reading when they see us? Christ in me, the hope of glory. When people are reading me, I want them to be excited because I've got Jesus. Because I have Jesus Christ in me, the hope of glory. Now, this works a couple ways. And Bob had me share this a few Wednesdays ago, probably a couple months ago, actually. But I was with my sister up in San Francisco. We'd visited. She lives like about an hour out. She goes, let's go into the city for the day. And they're pretty crazy up there, too. So we're walking down the wharf. People are selling spoons and jewelry, and they're singing with their guitars, and they have their cases open. People are giving them money. So we're walking down the wharf, and we see down ahead of us probably a circle of maybe 75 to 100 people. We've talked about it since, and we're still like, oh, this just blows our minds. So not any less. I don't want to be evangelistic, but it was a large group of people in a circle. So we're walking, and in the middle of that circle, we see this great big man. I mean, huge. He had to just get out of the Marines or something. All he had on was like a pair of shorts. He's standing in the middle on like a soapbox, and he's posing like a statue. I mean, this guy isn't blinking. He's not moving. It was incredible. He's just not moving. We didn't even join the circle. We're just walking on the wharf. We're just really innocent here. And we stood there for this long, 1,001, 1,002, 1,003, that's all. This guy slowly starts to move in my direction. And he stretches out his hand, and he stretches out his finger, and he points to me, and he goes, what are you looking at? And I thought, I think he's looking at a different spirit in me. And I think the spirit in me is looking at him. It's spirit to spirit. You're going to touch people like that, good or bad. On the flip side of that, probably last year, I was down at a health food store, kind of local, and I was the last one in line. I always try to bring up the Lord, not to be weird about it. I don't want to say go out there and be strange. Just be you, but be excited about who God made you. Be excited about the kingdom of God in you. And so I bring it up, and she's talking. So we're talking away, and she's kind of like a updated hippie. I mean, she would have made a great new age hippie back in her day, but she was young. And so we're talking. So finally, she does this. She stops, and she goes, I think that you're like a spiritual person. So I wasn't quite sure what she meant by that. So I went, yes. And I said, but there's a lot more people like me. She goes, really? I go, yeah. And I go, we meet every Sunday. We meet every week down a big building down the street. She goes, really? I go, yeah. And I go, we'd love to have you join us. And so I get in my wallet, and I give her my church card. It was really sweet. I mean, I went away happy. She's like looking at the card. You never know. But see, here's verse 2 of what John said. When this life became visible and we saw it, so we speak of it and we tell you about the eternal life which was with the Father and was made known to us. We're supposed to be doing that. We're supposed to be speaking about it and telling about it, because he said this, the life that we saw, it totally transformed us. And the life that we watched and we saw and we felt, it's now our life. That's what he's saying. It's our life now. We don't have to go moping around. We've got that kingdom of God in us, and we're supposed to be taking it out wherever we go 7 days a week. Amen? So here's the thing. When people meet you, they should be saying this. Oh, my gosh. What is it about that person? They're so excited about their life. Like, I really want what they have, because you are carrying around life made visible. You are it. We should be having that. That was a good amen opportunity. Gee whiz, I got to coach you people. So the question begs, what's the story that you're telling with your life? Because you don't have to have been run over by a train and live to have a testimony. We all have a story we're telling. And you know, often we want people to see God in us, but we're not willing to share the heartache and the hurts and the pain and the wounds that actually other people are experiencing, heartache and wounds and pain. And connecting with those things will allow people to connect with you and bring them to God. I mean, honestly, here's the thing. Nobody's going to be drawn to God if you're like this. I've never been sick. I've never had anybody hurt me. I've never been wounded. I've never had problems with anybody else. I've never been financially ruined. I've never been through a divorce. I've never been through hard times. I never argue with my husband. And he's such a liar. My dog never poops on the carpet, and I don't have crabgrass in my lawn. I mean, who can connect like that? But here's the thing. When we can realize that we're part of a bigger picture, that my life is proof of his life, that I am life made visible, then that life that I have within me from him connects with my life, and people connect. Do you see that? When we hold them at arm's length, who wants what we have? I don't live a perfect life. So if you want to know how I'm making it, come and talk to me, because I'll tell you. In a heartbeat, I'll tell you. I tell people this all the time. You want to be an overcomer? Guess what? You got to have something to overcome. Amen. You want to lead a victorious life? If you don't have any challenges, you don't have any victories. Amen on that one. So I'm not going to bore you with this. Probably most of you already know this part of my testimony, but a year ago, almost to the day, Eli, give me that picture. That was me. Suzanne, Bob had thrown his back out. So Suzanne drives me down to City of Hope. I had no hair. I weighed about 110. And this was my first day of the clinical trial. So we had been told the first April, that after a 10-hour operation, the doctor came out midnight and told Bob, they just went in to take out my kidney. He said, boy, she's got cancer in her kidney, took out her ureter, 19 lymph nodes, the cancer's in her lungs, in her liver, in her abdomen. He said, I am really sorry to tell you, it's stage 4 metastatic bladder cancer. She's terminal. I give her about 3 to 7 months. I don't